Like, I kind of hate Siakam,
Yeah. All right, man. Damn. That's fair.
That's the intro. So welcome back.
Welcome back. Yeah. We were talking about most despicable people in the league, and I was like, I was like Bridges, like Porter Jr., and Fitz is like, no, I know somebody way worse than those guys.
So I've watched twice as much.
Anyway, in the last episode, as a human being, in our last episode, we did our number 50 through 26 of our top 50 players, and now we got our top 25. This is the cream of the crop. These are the guys. Nobody these are the motherfucking men. Mm-hmm. At number 25, I had him at 30, Anthony had him at 26, and Liam had him at 18, and that's Kyrie Irving. What do you like about a player who only shows up for two out of the four series in the playoffs?
You know, Kyrie, he's a very interesting player, very controversial. He's the Kanye West of NBA, as I like to say.
Yeah. In terms of the relationship to the Jews.
Yeah.
For sure. Great thing to say a minute into the podcast. But I don't know. I feel like whenever he's comfortable in his environment. Like, he plays extremely well, very clutch, can kind of rely on him for, really anything.
Yeah. If all you need is 17 points per game of your second best player in the final series, then he's got you for sure. Yeah.
Oh, but if you need him to come back from a 3-1.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair. No, that was only 8 years ago.
Yeah, like having like a resurgence in your career like that, like 8 years, like I don't know. Like,
yeah, I mean, like he's like one of the most
but he's so fun to watch. Like
he's very
watch.
Fun.
Oh my god, yeah.
Like when he's clicking, like
yeah, he made our top 10 players to. He made my top 10 players to watch list when we made that episode earlier this year.
Oh damn, I must have missed that.
He's like one of the textbook definitions of a 3-level score. He will score from literally anywhere on the floor. Yeah. 50-40-90 season a few years ago, in Brooklyn. And solid defender. Like, he's not going to blow you away.
He'll defend
his
position.
Yeah. Not going to be a liability.
Yeah.
He was 26 on mine.
If he was better towards the end of the playoffs, I certainly would have had him higher. I only had him at 30. Like, this is 5 spots higher, than where I had him. Yeah, Kyrie Irving. I think his shot selection leaves something to be wanted, at this stage in his career. He's kind of, not as bad as Klay Thompson, but he's kind of got that Klay Thompson thing where, like, he thinks he can shoot his way out of, like, some bad shots, and he almost pounds the rock more when he's having a bad shooting night, which is tough to watch. But, hey, man, he could be a champion as soon as next year. So,
yeah, two-time champion.
Yeah, two-time champion. At number 24, we have Damian Lillard. I had him at 23, Anthony had him at 24, and Liam had him at 26. Damian Lillard... like, also a 3-level scorer, insanely clutch. He's essentially all that we said about Kyrie, minus being able to defend his position. And he's like a slightly dialed up version on offense. I going into this last playoffs, remember saying, like, without Giannis in the first round, I think that they'll be the Bucks will be fine against Indiana, because I was like, Dame's always good in the playoffs, he's going to be great, and he was, but then he got hurt like two or three games into the playoffs. But he looked like Dame time when he was on the floor in the playoffs, and I would not want to play him in a playoff series if I'm
I mean, like, they still weren't winning when he was playing, but like, you take away the best player on any team and they're most teams aren't going
to
win.
Yeah, and they kind of got unlucky in that Dame seemed to be really good at the beginning of the series, and Middleton seemed to get really good towards the end of the series, and those guys kind of didn't overlap in their best games. And, like, yeah, they needed both those guys to be on to win that series, and that was a lot to ask, especially of Middleton at that point. But, yeah, Dame, great player. And hopefully, Doc Rivers says he's going to be better this year. So
yeah, apparently out of shape.
Out of shape last year.
I think it'll be better, like when he kind of messes with the team more, too, because it was,
only half a season of a coach,
yeah,
too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true.
Yeah, and the legendary Trailblazers backcourt of Lillard and Gary Trent Jr. has been reassembled. There's some,
it's just, like, how can that team not be, like, the best team in the league? Like, Giannis and Dame on the same
Giannis, who's never healthy in the playoffs, and Dame, who's had some serious back problems over the past couple years, and Chris Middleton, who's an absolute band-aid, and Brooke Lopez, who just had back surgery 2 years ago and is 38 years old.
Somehow, like, still pretty durable.
Yeah, still, like, the most durable of all those players, probably. I think sense. The only thing they'll hold them back is injuries and Doc Rivers blowing leads. But other than that, other than that, they're golden. On to our next player. Another player that we're very much in lockstep on. At 23, we have Paul George, who I had at 24th, Anthony had at 25th, and Liam had at 23rd. You had him the highest, Liam. Give me your Paul George thoughts.
He's smooth.
Very smooth. Maybe the smoothest.
He makes cool shoes.
Makes cool shoes for sure.
That's very good taste in women.
Very good taste.
Does he? Does
and
he?
Team chemistry. I don't know. I like his game a lot. Like, mm-hmm. he can definitely, like, I don't know. He can definitely be disappointing for sure. But he can defend, you know. He can, like, you can rely on him.
I mean, he does literally everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, he's a great player. Like, yeah, I don't know. He's just a great player.
Once again, we're going to get a lot more of these because now we're in, like, the elite of the elite players.
Right.
But he's another three-level scorer and, like, truly three-level scorer. Mm-hmm. Good defender. His playmaking can leave some to be wanted, but he's fine for a three. I think if Paul George at this stage in his career is your best player or even, like, a 1B, you're kind of screwed. And so that's why I think in Philly with a clear one and then a 2A and a 2B, mm-hmm. I think it's going to be really, it's going to work for him. Cause in a playoff series, he's going to give you a couple games where he looks great. And he's going to give you a couple games where the defense looks good, but the offense leaves some to be wanted.
Yeah. The Drew Holiday of Philly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
With more upside.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's at 23rd. Good for him. Now at 22nd, we have a player who I had at 19th, Anthony at 22nd, Liam had at 29th. Liam, you don't like players who get hurt.
What the hell? What happened to the Memphis love?
I know. And that's Ja Morant. Liam thinks that the reason that Memphis was winning a couple years, he saw the stats. He was like, when Ja doesn't play, they're still pretty good. So obviously it's not him. It's got to be Desmond Bane, Jaren Jackson Jr. But yes, it is Ja Morant. A top 20 player for me, and I'll explain why. I don't know if you guys remember, like, 2 years ago, maybe even 2.5 years ago now. It's been a little bit.
I remember yesterday.
He's had some bumpy times in the past a little bit. But he was appointment viewing. Yeah. He was Anthony Edwards before Anthony Edwards, where he was dripping with style. 100%. He was dragging his team. Not dragging, because both those guys have good teams. But being the main guy as a young guy on pulling teams through the playoffs, going toe-to-toe with a Golden State team that won a championship. I mean, Ja Morant is... You want to talk about fun players to watch? Mm-hmm. I mean, like, if somebody was like, he's my favorite player to watch in the league, I'd be like, that's kind of base. He is really, really fun to watch. Yeah. He'll dunk on anyone.
Except he'd be bored as hell last
time. Yeah.
He'll try to dunk on anyone.
That's fair. That is fair. He has a lot of missed dunks, like getting blocked and stuff. But yeah, he will try to dunk on anyone. Mm-hmm.
I do really like
him. Superstar. Super duper star.
100%.
Love Ja Morant. What do you guys have to say about Ja Morant?
I mean, like, it's just really tough to judge, like, players you haven't seen in a while. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the only reason Jordan didn't make any of our lists.
DeAndre Jordan?
He's incredible. Like, his first game back, game winner, literally was taking an inhaler, like, in the, like, timeouts. And then, like, hits a game winner. Like, he's insane. But then, like, got injured a few days later.
Yeah.
For the same reason Liam loves all these players, he fucked me in fantasy and that I took him on. I picked him up in our draft knowing that I'd have to suffer the 25-game suspension just for him to get injured a week after. So I had to fucking put him on waivers. So that's the only reason he's not top 20.
Well, he's 22nd on the collective list, and you know where he is on your list, Anthony, is 22nd.
So I was cooking.
Yeah, you're cooking. Next, we have a player that we are all almost exactly in lockstep on. Anthony's a bit of a hater. I had him at 22nd. Liam had him at 22nd. Anthony had him at 23rd. That's De'Aaron Fox. Somehow finishes 21st on our list. I don't know how that works.
I think
it's just because... there's no haters of De'Aaron Fox on this list. I mean, as I said, we're all very similar on him. The thing with De'Aaron Fox is, like, I mean, he is so clutch. Another fun player to watch. Yeah. Super fast. I mean, like, him and Maxi, I'd love to see in a foot race. I don't know which of those guys has a faster sprint speed. Yep. You always go with the younger guy, so I would assume Maxi. But, like, who knows? Like, they both seem very, very fast. Mid-range killer. He's taken some steps from three-point range. He's always going to be near the top of the league in steals. So he's not, like, a fantastic... I mean, like, he's not, like, a great guard defender. I find the guy who leads in steals is never, like, an elite defender. But, like, you're not a bad defender if you're leading the league in steals. And steals generate points, especially when you're as fast as him and can beat everyone else down the floor in a foot race.
100%. I feel like he could be the guy, too, man. Like, I really feel like he could be the number one option.
I feel like if you built a better team around him, he could for sure be the guy. But really the problem is he needs a lot of insulation to be the guy. It's not like Giannis or Jokic where you can, like, you know, kind of throw some dudes around them and the team's automatically going to be good. Like, Fox is with Sabonis, who is good. And that fit has been clunky. And those guys are just talented enough that you're still going to win 40 games as basically your basement.
If Herter could hit a three-point shot, I feel like...
I don't want to think about Kevin Herter right now. But I think that that team, I mean, with like them two and DeRozan, like that team is going to be top five in offense, maybe 30th in defense this year. So we'll see. We'll see how that works for them.
Yeah, and steals are, like you said on the part one, are the guard version of blocks, which might be the most important thing. And honestly, really, rebounding might actually be more important than both those things. But, like, yeah, like, just being able to, like, completely shut down the possession and just take away a shot is amazing.
I'm a big fan.
And, yeah, I mean, we all had him right here. So we all thought – actually, we all think that it's a little bit of glazing for him to be at 21st. next, we have a player, again, Liam hates dudes who gets injured. I had him at 15th. Anthony had him at 20th, and Liam had him at 28th, and that's Zion Williamson. I'll take the lead on this. I love Zion.
I like Zion.
I'm a big Zion fan. I don't even need to see when he plays. He played almost all of last year, and he did get hurt at the most critical juncture possible. But we're forgetting that he was sitting on a 40-point game where he was on play, like he was on a floor. He was on the floor with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Neither of whom looked bad, but like he was attacking Anthony Davis at the rim and pushing him back.
I've never seen somebody,
especially at a 6'6" height. I mean, like when he goes to the rim, I think he's the best player in the league going to the rim.
Giannis,
and
MVP,
I think if you want to take Giannis over him going to the rim, honestly, that's probably the right take. I'm just more of a Zion fan. But I think, like, other than Giannis, the best going to the rim, LeBron, sorry, buddy, you're a little old, LaPuki. yeah, he's just great. He's just so great, and he's an automatic Bucky.
And he's he gets the Ja Morant, he's in the Ja Morant class of, if you will say this is your favorite player in the league, I have no comment.
Sure. That's awesome.
Watch like five games of basketball and just don't watch the playoffs.
We saw him live. He is
he's the best. He's the sickest player I've seen live, bar none. And we saw both Giannis and Embiid this year.
Yeah.
I mean, he's he on his own is worth the price of admission.
Every time I watch
like,
him,
like if I was like, hey, like somebody's like, what do you like about basketball? Like, why do you like watching it so much? Like, my favorite player is Jokic. But if somebody doesn't watch the game, I'm not going to be like, yo.
Look at these passes. Look at the vision.
Look at this horn set run through the elbow through their center.
Look at how he uses his elbows.
Yo, look at this.
This extra pass, nobody does that. Oh, I'm telling you, nobody does that.
Are you going to show him a picture of fucking... Saw 8 feet above the ground, arms stuffed in the room.
Which, by the way, if somebody can get those two guys on the same team, you think Aaron Gordon looks good with fucking Jokic?
Oh my god!
There's like few players who would be a better Jokic like teammate than him. Holy man! Anyway. That's Zion at number 20. We're now in the top 20 players in the league. At number 19, Anthony. Get the siren going. This, in Gage Jones's opinion.
It goes my weakest siren, and the levels didn't peak like the other siren.
This, in Gage Jones's opinion, and once again, do not look at your list, Anthony. So
because it's
base.
Because it's kind of base.
Is maybe the most wee-oo inducing pick of this entire list. At number 11 for Anthony, at number 13 for me, and at number 30 for Liam is Kawhi Leonard.
That's crazy.
By the way, Lauri Markkanen is at 27. Lauri Markkanen is 3 spots ahead of Kawhi Leonard. Oh,
I bet you guys forgot about remembering 27. No. Don't lie, viewers.
Lauri Markkanen, you had 3 spots ahead of Kawhi Leonard.
If Markkanen was on the Clippers,
if Kawhi Leonard played 2 games per year and Lauri Markkanen had 5 clones of himself that you could play at the same time, I would still put Kawhi Leonard on my team. I would trade Lauri Markkanen in all firsts until 2086 for Kawhi Leonard.
He's a bum. We're talking current, right?
Yes, we are talking current. Yeah. Second team All-NBA current, Kawhi Leonard. Anthony, at number 19, we have Kawhi Leonard. You have him the highest on your list at number 11. So what makes him a top 20 player in the league?
What makes Kawhi Leonard the top 75 player, 2-time finals MVP, a top 20 player? I don't know why. I kind of threw him on there as well. He's like he is, I've said it, I think, a few times now, but, like, you could still argue that he's the best perimeter defender. And actually, like, I've always had to do little caveats. Like, when I was saying Drew, I was like, who plays point guard? Like, he is, like, legit, like, maybe the best perimeter defender in the league still at his, even at his, like, old and broken down age. Literally an automatic bucket. Like, obviously, we've been saying this. Like, you also, to go to your point, as all these players are, a 3-level scorer in every sense of the word, and that he can attack the rim, he can shoot threes, and that's not even the best part of his game, and that the mid-range is the best part of his offensive game. Mm-hmm. He's the reason you trade 6 first-round picks to get Paul George. He's the reason you sign him to all these contract extensions, even though he's injured. It's the claw.
I mean, like, he's so proven. Like, he's not that much less strong than LeBron James, and not that much worse of a mid-range shot creator than Michael Jordan, and like the same level as Scottie Pippen as a perimeter defender in his prime, and he's at like 85% of that, but that is so fucking good. That is so fucking good. And he is so injury prone.
Yeah, to be fair.
Injury prone. But like, I mean, the playoffs, like, last year in the first 2 games against Phoenix, it was like, oh, no, is he going to have another Raptors run? And then he gets hurt. And then this year, he's great all year, and it's like, oh, my God, he's back. And then he gets hurt. So I can kind of see having him a little bit lower. I think having him below Lauri Markkanen's a little egregious.
Yeah. I just want to have him and Zion, like, close to each other.
You had Zion ahead of him!
Yeah, but, like, by 1.
No, by 2.
Oh, by the
way. You had John Morant. You had Zion, John Morant, Kawhi, who's 28, 29, 30.
All 3, like, great injury players. Guys. Yeah, but like.
Yeah, all right. Worse than Lauri Markkanen, though. 27 Lauri Markkanen. 27 Lauri Markkanen, 28 Zion, 29 like John Morant, and 30. That's consistent.
To his list. Okay, well, no, like his, they, like the logic's consistent. No,
we'll get to some players in the future. We'll get to some players in the future.
You know what? I could see if you really, really are valuing the playing. I could see.
Honestly, that. Like I had Kawhi on fantasy too, which I thought would be a mistake. Like I got auto drafted Kawhi.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Because no one would pick.
He's probably a beast for you.
And he was really good.
Fantasy beast Desmond Bane. But fucking honestly, scrub.
You named your team after him too.
Yeah, yeah.
Kawhi me a river.
And now we are on to number 18. I had him at 21. Anthony had him at 18 at this exact spot. And Liam had him at 15. And that's Tyrese Haliburton. What do you have to say about Tyrese Haliburton, Liam?
He's just a young, exciting player.
Very exciting.
Took like a pretty strange Pacers team to the conference finals this year, which is pretty cool, even though he got injured for parts of it. And it was
really,
a great
team. Only in the last series, though.
Yeah, it was a well put together team as well.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think he's an amazing player. I think he'll only get better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like,
I think his jump shot is like one of the worst things I've ever seen in my life.
And it goes in every
time. And it goes in every
less so. Than
yeah, no, yeah. That is fair. Yeah. We talk a lot about players awesome who run playmaker. Offenses.
Literally, arguably the best playmaker in the league.
Yeah, for sure. He runs an offense beautifully. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's great. He's super talented.
He's not terrible on defense.
The problem, he has like the LaMelo Ball problem on defense, mm-hmm. where he's like average to below average, but you are a 6'7" point guard.
He should be way better.
Yeah, with a huge offensive load.
Yeah, I mean, same with LaMelo Ball. It's LaMelo Ball problem. Right. I mean, like, obviously, mm-hmm. not the same player. One of these guys was like 58th. The other guy was like his 15th or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Tyrese Haliburton. Why aren't you a better defender?
Yeah, for real.
But so good offensively. Yeah. I mean, 18th, mm-hmm. deservedly so. Mm-hmm. He's great, Tyrese Haliburton. He's really, really good.
Mm-hmm. And he's always smiling. He's a happy guy.
Yeah, you know, great teammate.
I'm sure he's a great, great teammate.
He's listed as 6'5".
He feels taller than that, but sure. Yeah. Even still, 6'5" is tall for a point guard.
Yeah, for sure. That's two guard height.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, top now 18. After 18th with Tyrese Haliburton, we are at 17, and we no longer have any players on this list who anybody has outside of their top 20. Because I had Tyrese Haliburton at 21st, so I'm a hater. We're on Donovan Mitchell, who I had at 18, Anthony had at 15, and Fitz had at 19. What do we like about Don? Brought up a lot so far in this podcast, strangely enough. What's your Donovan Mitchell thoughts, Anthony?
And that like he is an offense similar to Trae Young, but they're just like so consistent in the playoffs. He's like somehow even better.
Mm-hmm.
He's also such a weird one because also like his team, like it actually does remind me a little bit of Trae Young, and that his team is like a little bit disappointing, like every single time, like more disappointing than you'd want them to be, like even back in Utah and like especially in Cleveland. But like it can't be his fault. Like he drops 30, like no one, like it's nothing. Like I don't know, man. He also just like a fantastic rim finisher and 3-point shooter, who's quick and shifty. Like it's just like a beautiful combination. He's like a player you'd want to make in 2K.
Mm-hmm. I feel like he doesn't shrink in big moments, you know.
Nope. Yeah, not at all. Yeah, he does like almost everything you'd want him to do. And
except
like
win games.
Yeah, you're right, except win games. And like I don't know, like I just was comparing him to like people like Haliburton and Maxey and Ja and Fox and Dame, and I'm like, he just feels like he's just like he doesn't have any glaring weakness that I can point to like those other players do. And
more experienced as well, like
yeah, exactly. Yeah, like he's been through so many playoff series and like is always good, like literally always good. Like I couldn't have him much lower. Almost always good, let's say.
Yeah, I mean,
the last year in Utah's pretty bad.
He's like Tyrese Haliburton was the last guy that on this list, and it's kind of a fun player to have right before him. Mm-hmm. Liam's the outlier here in that you picked Haliburton over Mitchell, and I don't hate that. Like that's a very defensible take. I think both these players are really, really good. I'm personally happy that Mitchell's a little higher. He's a bona fide bucket, and I think getting your own buckets is more valuable than getting other people buckets in general, because you can't control Danny Green's going to brick a three at the end of a game six in the finals, and it would just be better to go get your own bucket in that situation.
Facts.
Yeah, he's a super fun player to watch. He's a sneaky guy that if somebody was like, that's my favorite player to watch, I'd be like, wow, nice.
It's a surprise one, but sure.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'd be like, nice.
Good job. They'd be a Markkanen fan because they'd be a Utah fan.
Buddy, if somebody was like, Lowry Markkanen's my favorite player in the league, I'd be like,
you live in Utah.
Hello, psych ward. I have your newest patient for you. And they're like, oh, is this another one of those guys who thinks that Lowry Markkanen's better than Kawhi Leonard? I'm like, yeah, man, sorry.
Time for the lobotomy, Lowry.
Or they live in Utah.
Yeah, fair. Or they live in Utah. Yeah, but like, get a grip, bro.
There's definitely people we know who would probably say Scottie Barnes is their favorite player.
Yeah, that's fair. Not ball knowers.
The thing I want to say about like Donovan Mitchell, too, though, is like, I'm like a certified Mitchell hater, and I still had him up that high.
So yeah, like, yeah, he's a killer. Yeah, you can't argue with
player.
Killer, you know.
Yeah, he is a great player.
At number 16, we have a player who could easily be number one in like 2-3 years, and that is Victor Wembanyama.
Okay, this is my fault that he's this high.
Anthony had him at 12, Liam had him at 17, and I had him at 20. So, not that much higher than where I had him. I think that you're expecting a bigger jump than what I am is the main difference in the divergence of our two
right.
opinions on it.
Top 20 for sure.
Yeah, I mean, we all
know. No, but I'm 12.
Yeah.
Like, he was flirting with top 10 for me.
Yeah.
Like, he just has an absolutely, like, irreplaceable skill set. And, like, we have talked on this podcast, like especially even recently, that, like, you can find centers that are good at defense and can run the floor. But saying he's good at defense is, like, saying, like, Steph Curry can shoot.
He should have won
like, he is, like, I think... maybe already the best defender in the NBA.
I feel like, yeah, that's a very...
I
feel like you could argue that.
Yeah, who is, like, who can yeah. ball handle. And, like his defense
is
so...
He can shoot a three and then miss it and then dunk it before anyone else can even touch it. Like, it's insane what that guy can do.
It's insane. And, yeah. like the closeouts, like... He's kind of fast too, and he doesn't even need to be. Like, anytime he's beaten, he has the best shot, like, block recovery, like the chase down, like the old LeBron thing that, like, I think of any player nowadays. And, like, when I was comparing him to, like, we'll get to him, but I have him higher than Devin Booker and Jalen Brunson. And I'm just thinking, like, those teams would even if it was for a 1 year contract, would rather have Victor Wembanyama than those guys. And that's why I had him this high.
Okay. I think he's a transcendent defender and I love defense and he's super switchable and his offensive game is pretty, pretty diverse for somebody who's this young. And I think he's going to be really good this year. Like the Detroit Pistons didn't have anybody on this list. And the Portland Trailblazers didn't have anybody on this list, and the Charlotte Hornets didn't have anybody on this list, and like
Scoop.
If even if your teammates are really, really bad, you have to drive winning some amount. And I'm like, once again, I'm splitting hairs here. I'm top 20, even this given.
Yeah.
And I'd just be interested to see this year. I need to see him how
he
plays.
He didn't play full games, though, either, did he? Any, like, he skipped games?
Yeah, no, that sucks. That is a detriment to him. That's not a positive. Yeah. He didn't even get to play full games.
That's what I'm
saying.
Like,
if you can't play, if you can't play full games, that's not good. What do you... You should not be saying this, Fitz. You...
No, but I thought that was, like, the coach's decision.
I think it is.
For sure.
Because
but, like,
if he played more, I'm saying they probably would have won more.
Yeah. Maybe. But they won 21 games.
Yeah.
Like they were bad.
But like, also, like, most of their wins came in the later half of the year.
Yeah,
so, like, I'm ignoring more of the first half of the year because we're talking about him, like, right now. So, like, like he was really, like, actually winning games by the end of it. Like, they were, like Detroit was on a literally historic losing streak and basically had the same record as the Spurs.
Mm-hmm.
But the Spurs weren't even in that conversation for the worst team when like Detroit and the Wizards were arguing for it. So that's why I'm almost kind of throwing out the first half of the year and just looking at it, like, let's say post.
I bet you they went like 8-33 over the second half of the year.
For sure. Yeah, like they were ass. They were ass. But like they weren't like the worst of the worst. And like his teammates were like awful.
Like bad. He is one of the best coaches of all time on the sideline. Yeah. I guess he's a little old, but like,
true.
I don't know. I think people overhate a little bit on some of his teammates. I think Dem Vassell is genuinely good.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
And I think Keldon Johnson is like genuinely good, especially once they had him in a little bench role. And I think once they started playing Trey Mann at point guard, that's when a lot of the wins started coming. A little more of a full offense thing. And obviously getting the ball is huge. But like, for example, I had Ja Morant right in front of him. Like when, like, Ja Morant has done nothing but drive winning in his career. Like, he came onto this Memphis team, and he gave them an identity, and gave them a winning identity. And they were a 50-win team, basically, after his rookie year, every year. And, like, Wembanyama, once he's not a 19-year-old, is going to be like that. As I said,
right.
He's number one on this list in three or four years. But I don't hate you taking him at 12. I doesn't get a siren from me. not quite.
I was close.
If you had him in your top 10, I would get a siren. Like, okay. If you had him over somebody like, let's say you had him over like Anthony Davis or LeBron James or Jason Tatum, like that kind of class of players,
yeah,
I'd be
yeah.
like, what are you talking about?
Right. Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah, it's also one of these things with this. Is that, like, it's really more of a tier list, but it just doesn't, like, obviously tier lists don't really work in podcast format, but it's, like, yeah, like there is like a clear upgrade in my list from number like even number 12. Like Victor Wembanyama to me is much closer to the 13th player than he is to my 11th player.
Well, now we're into the top 15.
Top 15. Ooh. So if basically if the league had to get redrafted, these are the players that the top half of the league would want drafted onto their team.
Also, if there was no like injuries or team balance or anything, in our eyes, this would be the All NBA team.
Right. Yes. Yep.
Exactly. And number 15th is Jimmy Butler, who I had at 16, Anthony had at 19, and that's Liam had him at 12. Liam, give me the Jimmy Butler rundown. I want to hear you defend Jimmy Butler like Anthony defends Victor Wembanyama.
I just love Jimmy, man.
Like, I love Jimmy too.
Like he's a great player. Like he like I kind of like the opposite of Brandon Ingram, where every time I watch him, I'm disappointed. I feel like every time I watch Jimmy Butler, like I'm like impressed.
Yeah,
and like he always like he just does everything. Like
quick stipulation, you do watch much more playoffs than regular season. That's which fair. Makes sense why you would have fair. That take that on Jimmy
fair.
Butler.
That is very fair.
But continue. No,
but playoffs are like the most important. Like
yeah, for sure.
To me, oh yeah,
like, no, like championships are like what people like make legends out of.
How many of those
like,
does Jimmy Butler have?
Like with the team, with what he's given, I feel like he's done pretty well. You know?
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure.
If it weren't for Kawhi, like they probably would have had a chip as well.
Oh, for Philly,
Philly.
Yeah, when he was on Philly.
Yeah, I think that, I think the Golden State team was really good. Yeah. With the injuries that they had,
that's fair.
And had a lot of built but in. Man, but like, who knows? They easily could have.
Yeah, I just love his like mentality. Like I love how hard he plays. Like like he will fucking win you a game. You know what I mean? Like he will like put it on himself to win you a fucking game, and that's very important. Like,
yeah,
like for like great players,
he'd rather die on the floor than lose the game
for sure. That's I have no extra thoughts. I actually, despite my slight protestations while you're giving your opinion on him, I had him at 16 and he ends up at 15 on this list.
Yeah, so I was the biggest hater. I had him at 19.
Yeah,
you are a hater.
He also was like, injured last
playoffs. I know. It's kind of funny that I say that like after talking so much shit.
Well that's what I was gonna say. You're like like injuries, like that takes you a lot down this list. And then Jimmy Butler is ranked extra high, even though he was hurt.
I'm also like easily the highest ranked player on this team whose GM has said that they're going to trade.
He doesn't mean that.
Yeah, for sure.
No, you don't mean that.
Well, I mean, he might not mean. He hasn't done it yet.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's going on there.
At number 14 on this list is Liam's 14th player, and that's Devin Booker, who Anthony had at 13 and I had at 17. Anthony, you get to talk about Devin Booker. You got him the highest.
Devin Booker is... despite what you might think, actually a playoff riser, and he's already a regular season player.
I know.
Like in literally the final and most important game that he will probably get eliminated in, he is somehow ass.
Like but, dog shit. Truly, truly.
He has his absolute worst games of his career, like in game sevens of like closeout series or like win or go home games. But like even with that, he like completely is like he is an automatic scorer and like a legit defender. Like literally in the same breath people talk about Anthony Edwards. I think Devin Booker is right there, like in that same tier of like actual like really really good perimeter defender who isn't gonna like make an all defense team, like but like literally like could on under the right circumstances. And like, despite what you might think, and honestly, I really, this is my version of the Trae Young on Liam. I also don't like Devin Booker.
I agree.
But like, I gotta respect the body of work.
I hate his mentality, honestly.
I also hate his mentality.
Like, I used to be really big on him.
He is a cry baby.
He is a little baby back bitch, but he's a fucking baller.
You never would have thought. I never would have thought I would say this about Devin Booker early in his career, but he truly drives winning. This Phoenix Suns team has done basically nothing but win since the bubble. Even like last year, like Bradley Beal misses half the year. They've got like this basically the, one of the worst role player casts of a like playoff team. Even Booker missed some time. And they're like, hey, Booker, you've been a two guard basically your entire career, except for the time that you were a one guard when you were 20 and your second best player was like freaking Mirza Teletovic. you're our point guard now. Like, have fun. And he was great. He's a good playmaker. Like, he feels like any role you want to give him, he's like, I'm down. You want me to defend the best guard on the other team? I'm down. You want me to drop 35 a game? I'm down. You want me to be a playmaker? I'm down. I can score on the outside. I can score on the inside. I can score in the mid-range. He's really, really freaking good. Yeah. He's and like, yeah, he drives winning. Yeah. And he's a bitch, but that's okay.
Scared of a little Raptors mascot.
I know, for real.
No double teaming in practice.
Speaking of driving winning, at number 14 for me, number 16 for Anthony, and number 13 for Liam, we have Jaylen Brown.
Reigning finals MVP?
Finals MVP at 13. Let's get the rundown from Liam on this one.
Can we get everyone's rankings again?
Yeah, what was that?
On this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I had him at 14. You had him at 16. Liam had him at 13.
Okay. Sure.
I like.
And he finishes at 13 on this list.
I mean, I just had to give him the respect that he kind of deserves after the finals MVP and like his performance, like in the, you know, regular season and playoffs. Like, he seemed like the best player in like the in that series. He seemed like the best player in a couple of series.
I mean,
like,
conference finals MVP too.
Yeah. Exactly. Yep. Yeah. Like, he's great, great defender, like insanely good at attacking the rim with his right hand. And and he's pretty good with his left too. He's like great shooter,
smooth mid-range game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like he's just a dog, man. Like, he, I feel like he kind of like gets his boys going, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He's like the true captain of that team. I feel I'm a Tatum hater. Mm-hmm. I did put Tatum higher, to be fair.
But, yeah.
Well, I think we all know, like, the reason we have Tatum higher is, like, Tatum is going to get the best defender. Like, I believe...
That's true.
I think we, like, if Tatum wasn't on the team, I don't think Brown would have that same type of impact.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, like, you got to respect the finals.
Yeah, you have to,
Yeah, I mean, like, he's, like... Yeah, he's a finals MVP for a reason. And like, that team wins every year basically since he came into the league.
Yeah.
Other than the 1 year that they were weirdly like a 42 win team, like 2-3 years ago, they've been like a 50-60 win team every other year. Conference finals, like, he's been tons of playoff games. He's had more good playoff series than bad ones. And like, I just think it's nice.
Yeah.
It was really nice for that Boston. I know most people don't agree with me, but it was really nice for that Boston team to get over the hump after years.
You were saying, like, after seeing like Lowry and DeRozan not be able to do it for so many years, and hearing all these narratives, like, you know how much like it feels good to them to finally do it.
Yeah, and you think about like Mitchell and Gobert, or like even like Chris Paul and Booker, like these guys who like they like have it in their grasp and their team's good, and then like for one reason or another, it just doesn't work out. And I feel like the longer you're together with that, the more and more painful every year losing becomes. Mm-hmm. I mean, people forget, but like 1 year before this, like, they were dead in the water down 3-0 against Miami, and they drag that series back to 7 for nothing. For nothing. They get nothing out of that. They get nothing out of that, and they get their team blown up. Grant Williams, gone. Robert Williams, gone. Malcolm Brogdon, gone. Marcus Smart,
defense
gone.
Year.
Yeah, I'm happy for both those guys. That's all I have to say about that. And now we're on to number 12, who I had at number 10. So we're finally getting into some top 10 players. Anthony, I'm at 14. Liam had him at 16. We have Jalen Brunson. So I got to defend the Jalen Brunson at 10 spot. There's a long lineage of Jalen Brunson type seasons. We're talking Derrick Rose in 2011. We're talking about Allen Iverson in 2001. We're talking about dudes who, like, I mean, this New York team was really good defensively and had a lot of really good role players. But for like end of shot clock scoring, once Randall got hurt, like, yikes. And when like OG got hurt, double yikes. And when Mitchell Robinson got hurt, I mean, not that he was helping the scoring much, but triple yikey dikey wikeys. I mean, like, this team, he dragged this New York team by the balls to 50 wins. And you would think that after that, he'd be pretty tired for the playoffs. I saw lots of times with Kyle Lowry on teams where he'd win 50 games, and then he would be ass in the playoffs because of the workload in the regular season. Mm-hmm. And then he turned up his intensity even higher.
Yeah.
I mean, the first two rounds of the playoffs, there was nobody better than him, in my opinion. He looks great. And I had to reward him for that. He's a real gamer. And, like, I know the efficiency isn't quite there, but, like, holy shit, is there not a better foxhole guy at 6 feet tall in the NBA?
Yeah, for real. Mm-hmm. Like, he's always been, like, a great playoff riser, too. Like, even in Dallas, like, before he got traded, like, he won a couple games against the Clippers, right? Like, with Kawhi and PG when they were playing, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, he won those games against Utah where, like, it was, like, that he basically killed Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert by outplaying Donovan Mitchell in a playoff series and then goes to New York and outplays him again the next year to make it to the second round.
Yeah, Donovan Mitchell can't escape Brunson.
Yeah. Yeah, what do you guys got any extra Brunson thoughts?
I mean, it's the efficiency for me that he didn't quite make it.
Yeah, he's the exact type of player that I love, though.
Like, yeah, like
you had him the lowest.
I know, I'm surprised.
That's crazy. I'm surprised. That's how you know we're giving you the real takes. Our feelings aren't getting in the way of our lists, okay?
But we're marking him.
Wait, is that a Lowry Marketer jersey?
All right, on to number 11. Anthony. Hitting the sign of the cross right now that this guy isn't slipping into the top 10 after he had him at 17th. I had this guy at 11. Liam had this guy at 9. It's Anthony Edwards. Liam, tell me about Anthony Edwards.
I love Anthony Edwards. He might be my favorite. He is my favorite player right now.
Nice.
To watch. Like,
nice.
Very understandable.
Just, he's so physical. He's so fun to watch. Like, will poster anyone, kind of like John Morant, like that kind of vibe. Mm-hmm. Amazing, like, mid-range or... Yeah, like excellent.
No,
shooter.
Great mid range. Yeah, really good footwork.
Awesome footwork. Yeah, like surprisingly great playmaking too. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. He's the guy. He's the guy. For like sure. He's.
Anthony,
he's incredible.
Anthony, pour some cold water on Fitz on this table.
Yeah, I mean, like, I had him 10 spots above Kyrie Irving, and like they had to me like very very similar playoffs in that they were like really really good. And then, like, we're just gone. And there were, like, missing child posters all around Minnesota for where is this Anthony Edwards? He had an incredible team. Like, look, I had him 17th. So, like, I don't think he's ass or anything. Mm-hmm. But, like, he has, like, one of the most complete teams. And, like, yeah, his support, like, Carl Anthony Towns had some, like, multiple games where he went, like, 0-for-6, 0-for-7. Like, there's not many stars who are going to win games with that. But, like, Anthony Edwards, it's not like he was making a case and, like, people were, like, people were comparing him to Michael Jordan. And then nobody made those comparisons after that series. Like, he, like, completely fell apart against Dallas in a way that, like, just hurt me. And honestly, like, I always... was kind of low on Anthony Edwards. And people would always talk about that he is, like, one of these young guys that you really want. And then I got sucked into it. And I said, I was like, he's up there with SGA and Luka on, like, young players that you would, like, kill to have on your team. And, like, and then I had the emotional investment, and it just hurt me to my soul, like, what Dallas did to that Minnesota team.
I feel like they just tried to stop Edwards.
And so you put him down to 17.
And let, like, so he dropped to... Yeah, and, like, but he had, like, one good game that series. Like,
yeah, but, like, like that was his first, like, playoff, like, series, too.
Yeah.
Like, a playoff run.
Yeah,
and
the,
like,
the
they
one
threw everything at him. Like,
my one,
and like his team kind of just fell apart.
Yeah,
I think you're a bit underestimating the defensive side of the ball for him.
Yeah, true.
And that
I
he's like
that
really,
up.
Really good for a superstar on that side of the ball.
For sure,
Really solid playmaker. Like at the two guard, and like he looks good because he has a solid vet point guard
and
with him too.
I fucking love his confidence.
And
bro.
Since he is a good playmaker and a big team guy, it's pretty demoralizing when Kat starts missing every shot that he ever takes. And players like Nikhil Alexander Walker and Jam McDaniels basically just go back to what they're like are the rest of the season and that good defensive players, but kind of ass offensively. I mean, McDaniels was. Fine in the conference finals,
but he was like,
and like, real. listen, he Anthony Edwards was bad, like inexcusably bad. Yeah. But yeah, Minnesota has been such an ass franchise for so long, and like Cat was not a winner. And people were saying like Gobert is like the worst contract, the worst trade in the NBA.
Right.
And then like Anthony Edwards just raises the level of both those players somehow. And I really do buy into him making his teammates better. And maybe that's an intangible thing that I shouldn't take into account on this list, but I do think he is a maker better.
Also, like, low-key, there were some games where I feel like he was a little scared to shoot. Like yeah, maybe he was trying too hard to get his teammates involved, but, like, there were games where he would take, like, two shots in the first half.
Yeah,
like,
he wasn't as aggressive.
Yeah. Or a few games
but he could have been, like, fatigued.
Reminds me of young Tatum in that way. Tatum used to be like that a few years ago, and then this year he would be ass and keep shooting. So, good job, Tatum. We have officially made it to the top 10 NBA players in the league. Woo!
Our All-NBA second team.
Let's go. At number 10, a player who I had at 12th. Yikes. Fitz had him at number 10, and Anthony had him at number 9, and that's Kevin Durant. Anthony, you had him at number 9. Why is Kevin Durant still a top 10 player in the league?
There is no player in the NBA that you can convince me likes basketball more than Kevin Durant. Oh, yeah.
Bro, this guy has no bitches. He fucking doesn't care about his hair. He's fucking out on the court bowling.
I mean, like... Yeah, like, when you want to talk, like, honestly, when people talk about, like, the greatest shooters, like, they always want to bring up, like, the good three-point shooters, like Reggie Miller and Ray Allen and Klay Thompson. But, like, Kevin Durant is, like, legitimately one of the best shooters of all time. Like, an incredible three-point shooter up there with, like, the DeRozans and the Leonards in terms of mid-range shooting. He can finish, like, extremely versatile defender. Yeah. I mean, like, two-time finals MVP. Like, yeah, that was in the past. But, fraud. Like...
fraud MVPs.
Yeah, like, and he's, like, still, like, relatively healthy somehow. Yeah, like,
that is the most surprising thing.
Which is so weird.
Yeah, he's, like, OG Anunoby kind of healthy, where he never misses, like, the whole year, but he's always going to miss 30 games. Yeah. I don't have him that much lower. I only have him two spots lower than this. But one thing that I will say is I'm a little... for the Anthony Edwards point, I'm surprised you have Kevin Durant 8 spots ahead of Anthony Edwards. Because, I mean, it's just one playoff series, but Anthony Edwards straight up big boyed him and looked way, way better than him in a head-to-head star matchup. Mm-hmm. And I thought Devin Booker was better than any of Anthony Edwards' teammates in that series as well. And like Kevin Durant, like he's been in the league for a while, and done a lot of really good stuff for a really long time. The only reason I don't have him in my top 10 is it's been a couple, like, not terrible, but basically since the Milwaukee series in 2021, he's never looked great in the playoffs. And yeah. I just want one more KD run.
Like he's never looked like the best in the world type of
great. Yeah, because he's still an All-NBA player, and he hasn't had, like, an All-NBA playoff run basically since that one. And I just want to see it. Like, that year with Kyrie after when they got swept by Boston, he looked kind of ass. And then his first year in Phoenix, he looked fine. He looked okay. And then last year, he looked, like, honestly, his stats ended up being fine. It's one of those weird where I thought he wasn't that good in this series, but, like, he was fine because of the stats. But, he slipped just outside my top 10.
Mm-hmm. He definitely has the potential, though. Like, and that's why he's still, like, up there.
Yeah. Right? In three, four years, he could easily be 50.
definitely make an honorable bench.
Talking about a player who will not be on our list in 3-4 years. Fitz had him at number 11. I had him at number 9. Anthony had him at number 7. That's LeBron James. Anthony, tell me about LeBron James. Tell me what can LeBron James do on a basketball court?
What can LeBron James do on a basketball court? He can literally create his own teammates is what he can do. like I don't know, man. Like, in the Team USA, like, he is, like, every single player talks about how crazy his practices is still. Like, every single game he plays, he just isn't the same consistency as before, where, like, he had terrible teammates and he had to do literally everything on the floor. Mm-hmm. Now he has terrible teammates and he no longer can do everything on the floor. but, like, there are moments where he still has the moments where he is the best player in the world at certain things. Like, he can still get to the rim whenever he wants. he's also one of those players that you can argue is the best passer in the NBA. It's pretty tough because of the number one player on this list.
Mm-hmm.
And like his 3-point shot is like legit now, like in a way that like the it never was.
I swear it's a 75%.
When you look at the hand.
And he's like one of the strongest players in the league. Like,
Yeah.
I mean, he's still got the vision. I feels like on defense, like he, if he gets back, he's a pretty good defender.
Yeah, his on-ball defense. And he's also, this I actually think is true, is that he's this, in my opinion, the smartest NBA player in terms of basketball knowledge.
He should be number one, honestly. He should be number one. I love how we go from KD, he's like, yeah, he's kind of shit now. And then like one spot further, we're like, LeBron is the GOAT. He just does everything
Gain your hater bag. You had him one spot behind KD. Why is KD better than LeBron?
Honestly, like I just feel like KD is just more valuable to a team than LeBron is right
now.
Like, but can I even say that with a straight face? Though? Like, I don't know if I
You
can.
Just did.
I can't.
You just did. Like, your face was straight.
Like, it's all scrunched up.
It's all scrunched now. If you guys can see it.
I can't believe like I just said that. Like, do I really believe that? Like, I don't know.
I mean, like, well, we're pulling hairs. Yeah, like, yeah. It's a couple spots.
Yeah. I feel like KD will just be more valuable just because like of his shooting and his height and like just being able to put him anywhere, you know. But like LeBron kind of needs the ball.
As I said earlier, creating your own shots more valuable than creating shots for other people. Yeah. And well, I think LeBron's downhill ability is still really high level, and I have LeBron actually higher on my list. The argument for KD is that like just creating a shot in space, like Jesus Christ, he can do it anywhere. Realistically, like we talk about LeBron still being a good defender, so is KD. It's kind of funny how both those guys are still just solid defenders, even though they're so old. But yeah, that's number nine.
The GOAT.
At number eight, that's so funny, man. Anthony had this guy at 10th. I had him at 7th, and Fitz had him at number 6. So, Fitz, you're the one who has to tell us why this guy deserves to be a top 10 player in the league. One of your favorite players of all time, over LeBron.
It's going
to
be
It's Jason Tatum.
Oh, I hate Tatum, bro. I honestly do not like Tatum. Like, less than Booker, like, less than fucking, like, I don't even know. Like, I don't know. He's
way less than Lowry Markkanen.
Yeah. That goes without saying. I don't know, man. He's just like the fucking perfect basketball player, man. Like
Tatum?
Yeah.
Like he just does everything well. Like he's a good leader for his team. Like the best like player on the best team last, I guess not like in the finals or during the playoffs.
I would still argue the best player on the best team.
Yeah.
Well listen, the thing with Tatum, like he's not going to shoot like Curry.
No.
And he's not going to defend like Kawhi. No. And he's not going to pass like Jokic. And he's not going to be able to bully you in the inside like Embiid. But he's a really good at-rim finisher and a really good playmaker for his position and a good defender. Yeah. And he can score at the mid-range very effectively. And from three-point line, I mean, it comes and goes. That's the only part of his game that he is anything other than an 8 out of 10 or better at.
Yeah.
Pretty much every other part of his game, he is great to elite at. And he's basically the king of being all around. Like, he's probably the most well-rounded player in the league.
Yeah.
Unless I'm really forgetting somebody. But I think he is. Like, if just being able to do everything. He can just do basically fucking anything.
I still miss when they were comparing him to Siakam.
No,
I know, man.
Bro, you think those are good days? Were you following the NBA when people were comparing him to Kuzma?
No.
Lakers fans were like, are we sure that Kuzma isn't a bigger steal than Tatum? And I remember there's like this chart where like they were like grading them in like one side or the other, and they were like scoring Kuzma's better.
That's crazy. Did Kuzma dunk on LeBron? And
hey man, does Tatum have a ring? Fuck, that doesn't work anymore.
Kuzma has a ring.
Yeah, he does. Yeah.
You didn't control.
Yeah, the GOAT,
third best player on that team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, like the fall off in the shooting is why he only is.
Yeah, and honestly, I hate like when he fucking tries to take the game into his own hands, like and like.
Does, but he
like,
has a lot of game winners.
Yeah, he does. He's like a low key like I just, solid in playoff games too.
Yeah, a lot against like, us. Like I feel like every time that he took that step back three, I was like, that's gone.
That's true.
In that Indiana series too, it felt like every game like Indiana would be in the lead in the fourth quarter, and then Boston would work its way back, and then Tatum would hit. He would be like 0 for 8 from 3, and then as soon as Boston would have a 2-point lead with 1 minute moment left, three, bang.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, every actually, couldn't hit a three, and then at the very end, hit like push them over the
line. I don't know if one or two of those games went to overtime. I think only one, just the first one, but in that overtime, he was so good.
Yeah.
After being kind of shit all game, like fair, he put his foot on their neck.
I really feel like Indiana lost that game more than Boston won those games.
Oh, that game won 1,000%.
Yeah. I agree. It was that's a little bit of disrespect to how tough that shot that Jaylen Brown hit.
But like, he shouldn't have even had.
That's an
But also, like, don't they step out of bounds or throw it out of bounds like right before?
I think they do. Like, Siakam is like on his face and like
Boston turns.
Like Siakam's feet are basically
they turn it over.
Who turns it over right to the Celtics like right before they can't do an inbound.
Miles Turner sets an illegal screen.
Oh right, yeah, you're right.
I swear, like they double fucked up. Like it was like a terrible.
Well, they fucked up back and forth because Indiana turns it over and then Boston turns it right back over and then Indiana and then Miles Turner sets an illegal screen and then shambles. Brutal. Anyway, that's Jason Tatum. we're gonna go to number seven here. At number seven. Number eight for both of you.
Best Anthony.
Number six for me is Anthony Davis. Mm-hmm. Anthony, you were saying earlier that you think Wembanyama is the best defender in the league. I'm of the opinion that Anthony Davis is the best defender in the league.
Sure.
I think his rim protection is top notch. Yeah. And like his ability to get out on the mid range, really good lob threat. Mm-hmm. Feels like he can bully people a solid amount. Like he's not afraid to throw some elbows in the post. His mid range is good enough that like in a short pick and roll, you have to stay out there and you can't have your big man go to the rim. I mean, his 3-point shooting isn't great at all. It's kind of bad.
You'll still take those.
But that's like, honestly, he kind of doesn't anymore.
Yeah.
A few years ago, he did. I don't know what happened to him.
They stopped winning. That's weird.
Yeah.
They didn't go to the conference finals 2 seasons ago.
True. Yeah. He's kind of fragile.
Got sweat.
Yeah. I mean, he played like 70 games last year.
I know, yeah.
Yeah. Like, Anthony Davis is great.
Yeah, for sure. Also, like, legit playoff riser.
Playoff riser, especially in the defensive end.
Yeah.
Like, he's the best playoff defensive player, other than Kawhi Leonard, maybe, that I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Draymond Green's really good defensively in the playoffs, too, to be fair. But he didn't defend LeBron ever, so, like, I mean, is Iguodala really just the best player on those Warriors teams?
He might not be.
Any more Anthony Davis thoughts, or?
No.
No. Fuck that guy.
I'm under LeBron, so you guys are tripping.
I think he's definitely the best player on the Lakers.
Yeah, I agree. Definitely is. No, I agree. on to number six, we have Stephen Curry. Fits
the
out
of, only reason Iguodala is not the best player on those teams.
Fitz had him at number four. Anthony had him at number five. I had him at number eight. So, Fitz, you tell me about Steph.
He's the best point guard in the league. He's like
facts.
He's the best. Actually,
that's not true.
No,
you don't think that's true.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I take that back.
You don't think that's true?
He's the best true point guard in the league.
Sure. Ooh, that's a little
in
weird.
In terms of size, not play style, but yeah
for sure.
Best 6'3" or under player.
Steph Curry's not a true point guard. He plays like a two guard. Like Draymond is the
best shooter in the league.
They're running Chris Paul.
Now you're cooking.
He's still very capable of winning a championship for your team.
Mm-hmm. Kind of.
Like he won one like 3 years ago.
Yeah. He literally missed the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he beat Boston, who won.
Yeah. Year. He literally missed the playoffs this year.
He
like a fully healthy season. I'm going to go into my hater mode on Steph Curry. And I don't think he's like, I am at eight. So like I'm two spots lower than this. But I had Jason Tatum ahead of him. Steph Curry does nothing on the defensive end at this age. He is slightly below average, which is, it's fine because of his offense being so, so good. Mm-hmm. He's the greatest shooter of all time and has not left his shooting prime. I don't know if you can leave your shooting prime, but even like his running around cuts is still really good. But like, dude, other than Wembanyama, there's nobody in this ballpark whose team was as unsuccessful last year. Some of that's out of his control. Draymond was doing some dumb things. Yeah. Wiggins has been doing some dumb things.
Didn't he have a teammate
things.
That went 0-10 in a closeout game?
Yeah, I just feel like he's a winner, man. Like, he's really, like, he's built to win, you know?
Yeah, but he doesn't. He didn't win games last year. He won like,
is that his fault,
46 to 45 games. Yes, it's everyone's fault. They missed the playoffs.
He's also low key ass in the play-in.
Every time he plays in the play-in, I feel like
he loses.
Part of that's LeBron's fault because I swear they played the Lakers a few times. And the Lakers will always take their lunch money. But
he's got great intangibles.
Yeah, sure. I mean, like, he's a good enough teammate that, like, that organization's an absolute mess. like, Clay's gone, Poole's gone, Wiggins literally hates his life and leaves the team for months at a time.
He hates his life for other reasons.
Draymond doesn't even want to play basketball. Kevon Looney literally fell off a cliff. Like, I think that...
And somehow that team is still in the play.
Yeah.
Because number 35...
The Chicago Bulls were in the play-in.
In the East. Yeah, you know that's different.
I mean, the team that was right below them is the Houston Rockets. Yeah, like, beating the Houston Rockets isn't that crazy.
Yeah, you're right.
Bro. Where'd you have Alper and Sengun?
Freddie just 61?
Steph Curry, number 6. Good for him.
You're arguing he's two spots worse.
Honestly,
we're all just splitting hairs.
And that's because my top 5 is exactly the same as the top 5 of the group. At 5th, I have Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, which Anthony has at 6 and Liam has at 5th. SGA, man. What a boss. What a freaking boss. Great all year last year. The best team in the West. He was awesome on the best team in the West. Very deservedly first team All-NBA. And then was a playoff riser somehow. He straight up out-dueled Luka in a playoff series. He was better. And that's the stipulation for that is that's probably the worst playoff series that Luka's had in his career. If you look back at it, like, he pretty obviously had some sort of muscle issue in his legs.
And Kyrie kind of wins that series.
Which somehow gets fixed in between. Jalen Williams was bad in that series. And Chet Holmgren, like, came and went. Like, there were some games that you didn't even notice him. Josh Giddey, by the end of that series, is unplayable. And it's just Shea there in the fourth quarter, hitting that run-up little elbow midi. And every time, you can have 8 guys on him. You can have your freaking cock in his ass, and he's still hitting that every single time. Like, it's the most automatic shot in the league. Bro,
excellent defender,
excellent and really high level defender. For a
like
point guard,
he's top 3 MVP votes, right?
Good old Shea Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yeah, I love that guy.
Damn, I guess Shea's it is the most automatic shot. I'm like, there's no way that's the most. Yeah, you're right. I can't think of any better shot.
At least in that playoff run, that felt like it felt that was the shot that I most felt like every time he took that mid range, if it didn't get blocked, I was like, oh, that's going in.
Low key, Embiid mid range up there too.
I need to see him healthy though. He was a bit gimpy last year. I thought he was a little short on it more often than not, especially towards the end of games.
There's a reason we haven't set him yet.
Can I get the horn one more time, Anthony?
Wee wee.
Speaking of Joel Embiid, at 4th for Gage, 4th for Anthony, and 7th for Liam behind Jason Tatum is Joel Embiid. What makes Jason Tatum better than Joel Embiid?
I don't know if we should follow the horn for 3 spots, but Tatum's
a winner. Joel plays games.
In what universe? Joel Embiid?
Joel Bong airplane his way out the fucking tunnel and a loss.
There is no more dominant scorer. There hasn't been a more dominant scoring 5 since Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Shaq?
No. No, Joel Embiid was averaging 35 earlier this year. Shaq can't even shoot free throws. Joel Embiid is a 3-level scorer.
Embiid can't play 7 games in a fucking series.
You're being a little disrespectful to Shaq, but he's up there. He's in those names. Like, the only, like Tatum, like, actually might have more All-NBA first teams, and that's only because, like, literally the number one guy on this list plays Joel Embiid's position. Like, if it was positionless for, like, a while, Tatum would be the one who gets sent to these All-NBA second teams. Joel Embiid is an MVP, and Tatum plays every single regular season game. Like, it's not like Tatum's not eligible for these awards every single year.
If Joel Embiid is on every single Boston team that Tatum's been on, do you think that this is their first ring? Yes or no?
Well, like, he wouldn't play, so they probably wouldn't have.
He's almost. Did he not play every playoff game last playoffs?
Embiid,
yeah. I thought he played every single playoff game. To my knowledge,
it was one round.
Yeah. Oh, he usually plays in the playoffs. He almost always plays in the playoffs.
Lost the first round, though?
Mm-hmm. Bro, they started Kyle Lowry and Nick Batum. This is an NBA team, not a retirement home.
Also, like, we talk about it, like, Jason Tatum's a good defender. Like, Joel Embiid's, like, an all-defense, like, lock type of defender when he's healthy.
When he's healthy.
Yeah, I mean, he's Which he has been for, like, only this year he wasn't eligible for, like, he's didn't still, he wasn't like, on the awards.
Four. Like, I still put him, like,
no, you're in seven.
Okay, yeah. Like, honestly, he should be, like, 11. I would take KD over Embiid.
Okay.
All right. I don't know, if, bro. Like, when Team USA plays, I don't know if anybody's watching Team USA games. You know who gets doubled on the team? It's not Kevin Durant. It's not Anthony Edwards. It's not LeBron James. It's not Steph Curry. Those guys maybe every once in a while get doubled. They don't get the lion's share of doubles. It's not Devin Booker. It's not Anthony Davis. It's not Tyrese Halliburton. You know who gets doubled every single time he touches the ball is Drew Holiday. But all, right. But no, but yeah, Joel gets doubled every time he touches the ball on a court that has like Curry, Booker, LeBron, and Tatum space.
That's look like shit. He forced everything. And he fouled out.
Yeah,
like, the first he did not look good.
Like when they played Australia, they were up 22. They put him on the bench for Anthony Davis. And when he came in 8 minutes later, the lead was 14 less.
Yeah. Patty Mills, bro.
Bro, Curry saw Dellavedova and he was like, "I'm done. I'm out of here." All right, we gotta finish this off. We got number three now.
Are we all in step for these topics?
No, we are not. Me and you are in step.
Oh, okay.
Honestly, this guy number.
No. He called me and he said, I wanted to do these guys top two. Let me double check my list. And every day he's like, "Oh shit, I didn't have it." Yeah. So he actually regrets.
Why Lowry Markkanen at number two? At number three for me and Anthony, and can I get the horn? No, I'm kidding. And at number two for Liam is Luka Doncic.
Yeah, best point guard in the league.
Yeah, and now you're, now yeah. you're right.
Worst defender in the top fucking. Might be worse than Curry.
No.
No, he did take it defensively.
No, he's actually pretty bad on defense.
No, he might be worse than Curry. Yeah, like, you actually might be cooking.
Yeah, like Jalen Brunson might be the closest guy who's like worse than him on defense. Yeah, well, Luka Doncic, man. Pretty good. Pretty good player.
Yeah, he's not bad.
Yeah, you know, like literally,
he's like Draymond and Curry combined, minus all of the defense.
What part of his game is similar to Draymond Green?
Yeah, the engine. The engine of his
the passing, the passing.
It was just a thought I had great. Like 20 minutes ago, and I was stuck with it.
Like, okay,
and I thought that was a good one. I'm gonna keep that locked in, like most. Thoughts you think and then say later, it's fucking stupid.
Like Luka Doncic is like the Allen Iverson of Draymond Green's. I don't know.
What does that mean? yeah, like okay, Luka Doncic can get you a bucket, like honestly, better than Shea can. And like maybe better than even Joel Embiid can, and he's a better passer than both those guys, and that's tough because Shea's a pretty good freaking passer too, and Joel Embiid's a pretty good scorer, and Luka might just do both of those things better. Like, I mean, maybe not. Like, it's arguable, but he's up there for literally both of those things.
And he can draw a fucking charge if the refs weren't fucking biased, bro.
He could foul out of, like, the biggest game of his career.
Joel Embiid, foul-baiting bitch. Luka Doncic, why do the refs... No, why do the refs...
Refs is always Luka versus refs, bro.
Oh, man. Dude. And, like, those are literally the two most... The greatest complementary skills, unless you're like counting rebounding as its own skill, maybe defensive rebounding go more hand in hand than scoring and passing. But scoring and passing, if you could pick two things only to do really good, you'd probably want those two because they complement each other so beautifully. And that he will still get doubled as like as a top five passer in the NBA, knowing he can get he will find the right person, and he does still find the right person, and. Absolute playoff juggernaut, like the most scariest person. Like people were surprised Dallas made the finals, but people always still mention Dallas solely because they have number 77.
Like Prime Harden's one of the best offensive players that I've ever watched, and like comparing Luka to him almost seems disrespectful to Luka at this point. He's like, I think he's the most dominant offensive guard I've ever watched play the game. Like, especially given his playoff rising when compared to Steph Curry's playoff relative failings. I don't think he's that bad in the playoffs, but he does fall a little bit. I just think he does everything on the offensive end, literally everything, in a way that nobody else in the league right now does.
The Wonder Boy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Too bad Slovenia's on the Olympics because he lost to fucking Giannis.
Top three.
Who is number
two for me and Anthony, but Fitz wanted to be a hater and would never change it. He called me and he was like, I just called Anthony and I was on drugs when I called him. Don't listen to this man. Don't listen. I was not myself. and that's Giannis Antetokounmpo. He can dunk. He can run.
Yeah, like and defend.
Yeah.
And somehow, like, it is so, like, if he is so elite at all of those things, at being like the best, like, probably in tandem, like, body, like, athleticism in the league, the best rim finisher in the league, one of the best defenders in the league. There's a very clear way to stop him. And that is to throw three players at him. If you have three dudes guarding him, he will struggle. And like, if that is the only way to make a player struggle, they are the top two player in the NBA.
Mm-hmm. I don't even know what to say. Like,
he's just good, man.
He's just really good.
he's just good. I like him.
And like, good, all like that shit we were talking about, Anthony Edwards and the motor and all that. Like, Giannis like has that and is proven to have that, and like still has it. Like, he like can't hit free throws and doesn't give a fuck. He's still gonna like try and dunk on it on you. Like, doesn't care about getting fouled. And when it mattered most, he hit the free throws.
We'll say one thing. He's a bit more of an emotional bitch than Anthony Edwards. Between the ladder incident and the running after the ball incident, you got to be better, Giannis.
Facts.
You got to be a little, not that much better. He's not the biggest emotional bitch in the league, but it is, like, come on, man.
No, we already talked about Booker.
Facts. Bro, like, Booker's like 20% of what Boogie Cousins was. That's how insane, that's how insane Boogie was. Yeah, I mean, Giannis, like, he's probably the most consistently fun player to watch. And that, like, if you watch him play, like, every game or any given game, you have the highest chance of seeing, like, a highlight play at any time. Because he can give you blocks and he can give you sick dunks on the other end. And he does both those things, like, kind of a lot. Like, he can test shots really well, like, always on defense. It's fun to watch him rove. He's, like, him and Brook Lopez is, like, impossible to score on, it feels like. He's just great.
Yeah.
He's just really fun. Yeah. And best playoff performance I've ever seen, sans LeBron.
50
Yes. Yeah.
And Kawhi with us.
Yeah.
True. But, playoff performance? Or
yeah, full playoff performance. Oh, yeah, yeah. Like, full scope of the, of the playoffs.
Sure. Out-dueled KD when KD was looking.
He kind of lost to KD at a better team. But he looked great. I mean, he dueled KD, and that's the best I think KD's ever looked. Anyway, let's move on to the number one player. We actually all had this guy at number one, and that's Mason Plumlee. he can score. He can pass. He's big. He's a physical defender. He's outside. He's a four-level scorer. But seriously, I'd just like to give one little woo, let's go, because it's fucking Nikola Jokic, and I told you all, I told every single fucking one of you that Nikola Jokic is the motherfucking man, and I knew it, and all of us thought he was the man.
Number because one.
Let me tell you something about Nikola Jokic. We can talk about offensive players all we want, like, for an efficient look for your offense, there's nothing better. There is nothing in this world better than Nikola Jokic. He kind of got screwed playoff matchup-wise because Minnesota matches up really well against them. And also, Jamal Murray kind of shit the motherfucking... Yeah, he like shit in his sheets and then flipped them over and then shit them again. and that's tough. It's tough when your second best player does that to you. But he's the best player in the fucking world. Like, we talk about Giannis, and, like, he's the most, you'll see, like, the most exciting plays if you tune into him. Like, if you watch, like, an offensive possession of the Nuggets, you're almost always going to be impressed with Jokic if you just watch what he's doing. Like, the way that he, like, moves, fucking grab the ball in the post. He's got pretty like swift feet for somebody who's that like big. And I mean, like, he's a transcendent passer.
Yeah, unbelievable passer.
If we were making this list only thinking about this player at their absolute worst, he would still be number one because he does not have bad games.
He had three bad games in a row this last season, and people were like, is this it for him? Is he cooked?
It is insane how consistent he is at, like, not rim finishing. Like, he's a jump shooter in a way for a center, or like, even though he does like layups and stuff, like, it's just, and like, he's a passer, like, who just is always racking up assists, like, literally every single time, and rebounds. Like, it's insane how he is like the beacon of consistency in the NBA.
Some of the best, like, touch too, like
the best hands, I think, literally in the NBA.
I mean,
kind of not good on defense.
Yeah, but he's fine on defense. Yeah, he's okay. He's fine.
He's all right.
Fucking,
especially for center. Like, he's like a pretty good defender, like slightly above average, but because it's such a defensive heavy position, like, he's below average at his position for sure. But he's hard to move.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, so, like, three-time MVP and finals MVP.
Yeah.
Still in his prime.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, you look at the games that he plays against Anthony Davis, who's my pick for best defender in the league, he cooks him. You look at the games that he plays against Victor Wembanyama, which is Anthony's partial pick without thinking much more about it. I don't want to set that in stone.
Yeah, you can say it.
And he cooked him. Yeah. Like, Rudy Gobert, like, they didn't even want to put him on him in the playoffs. The only time that, like, they fucking...
Nas Reed, baby!
Nas Reed and Cat.
Like, both. And, like,
if they're both on him.
He was basically good from everywhere, except his three-point shooting was abysmal, and that brought everything else down. Yeah. But, like, his, like, interior scoring was still pretty decent in that series.
Yeah.
And that's with him getting doubled every single possession, because... like, nobody else is doing
anything. And like I said about Luka, where, like, you know, this guy legitimately, I've said it a few times, but this guy literally is the best passer in the NBA and still gets doubled is how good his scoring is.
Yeah, like, there's few, and, like, obviously the team fits well around him. Like, KCP's a good role player. It's nice to have Murray. Like, yeah, fact. It's nice to have Murray. Gordon fits with him really well. But there's less, like, NBA playoff. If you asked me, like, do you think Michael Porter Jr. would be a good playoff player? I would be like, fuck no, man. And he's not. And, like it doesn't matter. He looks good because Jokic just gets some open looks. And, like, fucking there's boxes out, like, two guys with his big arms. So Michael Porter Jr. can come swinging in for the rebound with his broken-ass back and still getting it over people because everyone's looking at Jokic.
And you were saying some things earlier, like where I had, like, these Denver players ranked so highly. Like, it's because, like, Jokic does such a good job of, like, hiding these players' weaknesses as well. Like,
for sure.
Like, making his team look so much better.
Like,
people, Murray doesn't need to be a good player.
Imagine, oh my god, bro. Oh my god.
No, don't get carried away.
Yeah. You're gonna have me salivating.
Salivating.
Don't get me
salivating. We gotta end this podcast right now. I'm just thinking of Zion.
Yeah, I mean, like, Aaron Gordon, like, people now are like, oh, how did they only give up a first for Aaron Gordon? Aaron Gordon was cheeks.
Anyone could have gotten Aaron Gordon.
Yeah, like, if you weren't Aaron Gordon.
We were having a conversation on who's better, like, Gary Trent and
fucking and Aaron Gordon.
And Gary Trent is better.
Like, if Gary Trent was on Denver, like, he'd probably, you know, he'd be like Danny Green level, maybe. In San Antonio.
Mm-hmm. He'd be Klay Thompson level.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He'd be Michael Jordan level.
And we're going to see that in Milwaukee.
Gary Trent Jr. is the Michael Jordan of LeBron James's.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
I was getting out of control.
We've lost the handle on it. Well, we're at about an hour on the second podcast this. So, Plumlee, bye. You got anything else to say, Fitz? You got to end it with Plumlee, though.
Yeah, if Plumlee put on 30 pounds, he'd be better than Jokic, that ass.
Wee wee! We got a wee wee! Plumlee anywhere outside of the top 60.